Can you stay, Bob?
I'll stay for a while.
Yeah, okay. Just for the purposes of identifying the tape, this is, what's today? September 28th.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm talking to Mr. Hansen. It's Siegfried. Is it all one word or two words?
Two words.
Two names.
Two words. When I took out my citizen's papers there, I had it changed to Siegfried.
Siegfried.
Yeah.
And do you go by...
Two words, yeah.
Do you go by...
They seem to have my trouble saying Siegfried, so I thought I changed it to...
To two words?
Two words, yeah.
Oh, it was Siegfried. So now it's Sieg and Fred.
They call me Sieg.
They call you Sieg.
Someone would have been out. The most people would call me Fred, though.
And with you here is your grandson. That's... This is your grandson.
Mm-hmm.
Art, what's his name?
He can't talk, he is.
What's your name?
Said, tell him your name. Hurry up.
Yeah.
Are you tongue-tied?
He's tongue-tied. That was Art Hansen. That's your...
Don's.
Your brother...
Don.
Don's son. Yeah. And you're Bob Hansen, and you're... one of how many boys?
Three boys.
Three boys. There's Don and Bob.
And Stan in between.
And Stan. Does Stan live in...
outside right now.
He's outside? Do you have any sisters?
No.
Three boys. Three sons.
Yeah.
Well, what I'd like to know first, Mr. Hansen, is where you were born.
I'm born in Sweden.
I would never have guessed that.
Another one.
I wouldn't have guessed that. No, I'm kidding. I thought you were born in Sweden or Norway,
in
but I
wasn't. Southern part of Sweden.
Southern part of Sweden?
Yeah. In Skåne.
Skåne?
Yeah.
And what is your birth date?
It's 15th of February, 1888.
1888?
Yeah.
How old does that make you without doing any arithmetic?
86.
86.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob was saying a little while ago that you spent the summer over at Manly Hot Springs?
Yeah. I used to be back a week ago today.
And what were you doing in Manly?
I got some mining property up there.
And were you doing assessment work on it?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
You've had mining property there. The family has for many years, haven't you?
And you started, what, 1913?
Hey, 1911.
1911? Yeah.
And did you come to Fairbanks in 1911?
Mm-hmm. Well, I came to Manly Hot Springs. The first place I came to in Alaska. I came from the Klondike.
Were you in the were you in the stampede of 1898?
No, I wasn't, no.
How did... Tell me how you got to the Klondike.
Oh, I got there, well, I went intentional. Just as kind of in the mining game, for one thing, and the railroad and another. So I have out in the States, so I was on my server, lived with an uncle in Denver, Colorado.
With an uncle?
Yeah. And I got quite interested in the mining there in the country. It's quite a mining. Mm-hmm. And then I started out in railroading at the same time. So I went up in the, what they called at that time, the Moffat Railroad. That's in the railroad going out to Denver to Salt Lake City.
The Moffat Railroad?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I worked there just a short time, and then I went west, and I went to, well, I went to Salt Lake City in Ogden, Utah. And then I went down to California, And I was in California for a while. I went to Nevada before I got to California. And then I went to Tonopah Goldfield in Nevada.
To what?
To the Tonopah and Goldfield in Nevada. They were quite a mining town at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I was there for a while. And then I went back to California and started on a railroad. We got contact on a railroad tunnel down at Quincy, California, in the Federal River Canyon. Rather. We had a tunnel contact there, and then he finished it, and then I went back to Reno. I was at Reno for a while, and then I went to Colfax, Auburn County, California, and we had a contact on the tunnel there. And then,
were you working with your uncle then, or
no,
by yourself?
No, some other partners.
We were
three partners most of the time, sometimes two.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went from there. I went back to Denver, Colorado for a while, and didn't stay there very long. And then I went down to west to Seattle, and I went up to Vancouver, British Columbia, for a while. Then for a little while there, and then I went up to Prince Rupert. Intended to go out in some railroad there, but when I got to Prince Rupert, it changed my mind. I went to, I don't remember, Skagway.
Skagway, Alaska.
That's in Alaska.
Yeah.
And then I went from there to White Horse. We were two or three together. There'd be two of us together there.
Well, how did you get to White Horse? Did you walk?
We walked part of it because the railroad was still true. But there's something wrong. They hadn't quite got it finished, so we had to walk up over the pass. But from there on, we could ride into White Horse, yeah.
What year was that?
It's in 1911.
1911? Well, the railroad was built then, so
yeah,
it must
yeah.
have been, maybe it was a washout or...
Well, there's something wrong on the hills there going
yeah.
up here. So I don't know what, but something that didn't go through.
This summer I went to White Horse with two friends, and we were going to Skagway
yeah.
on the train.
Mm.
And the morning the train was to leave, a bridge burned.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And the train didn't run for a whole week.
Mm-hmm.
So we went back to Haines Junction by bus and around, and then they mm-hmm. flew us over to Skagway. And then all the tourists who were coming, a lot of tourists go into Skagway.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
That's amazing. And they flew them back over to Haines mm-hmm. and around. It was a hardship on the tour companies. It was a hardship, you know, for the people, but also for the tour companies. Because
oh, yeah.
they have hundreds of tourists who go into Skagway now.
Mm-hmm.
The train runs from Skagway up to Lake Bennett on an excursion daily. So a lot of them just go up there.
Let me see. Anyway, I went from top of the pass, I went to
Lake Bennett?
Yeah, Lake Bennett. I went into Atlin, just on a tour to see what's going on. And then I come back in out again and I went to White Horse. And we just decided to go to Klondike or to Dawson.
Mm-hmm.
Find out what's going on there. Well,
how'd you get to White Horse? In a paddle wheeler?
No, we went on a train from.
To Dawson, excuse me. From White Horse to Dawson, you went on a, you must have gone on a riverboat.
No, from White Horse to Dawson, went on a train up there. No, White Horse to Dawson on a boat, of course, yeah.
Big stern wheeler.
Big what?
Big paddle wheeler?
No, we bought our own boat. We had a small boat.
Oh.
It's before the steam was, it's early in spring.
Uh-huh.
So we bought a boat with had skis on it, so we could go. We were up in water, we went in, and whenever we get to ice jams or what sort of that, I should pull a boat up and pull it on the ice. Well, went away and left Whitehorse. We went down to, it's up in water to get to Lake LaBarge. And there it was open out for about 2 miles out. And then it was solid ice, of course. It's early in spring in March. Then, anyway, when you get to Lake LaBarge there, they were overflowed in the ice. You couldn't tell where it's solid ice or not. And I was ahead, pulling the boat, on the rope, pulling the boat and the boys on the side. And kaplunk down I went. It's in the evening too, and a cold on the edge of the windy. And down I went clean under. But if I hadn't had a hold of the rope of the boat, I probably never get out of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I get up. And of course, I had to eye clothing in the boat. But it's about nearly 3 miles to shore. Anyway, I made it to shore. There's the stage between Whitehorse and Dawson. Had a stage camp there, where they stuffed over. And, well, all that was left there was an old barn that's up and two. Anyway, I got in there and changed clothes. Everything was used to, when I get the dry clothes and everything, my skin and my body seemed to be burning. Boy, it's cold.
And it's probably windy there too.
Yeah, quite a hot wind, yeah.
I think it's windy there most of the time,
yeah.
From what I...
It blows hard. Anyway, I got my clothes on and got limbered up, and we went on an island and had a little bite to eat. You had to go out and things with us in the boat. And then we started out, put up sail in the boat. And next morning, we were down at the end of the Lake LaBarge. I can't remember.
You were on top of the ice then?
Huh?
You were on top of the ice on the skis?
Yeah,
then?
On the ice and skis. Yeah.
Oh, you went on top of the ice?
Yeah, you were on top of the ice then.
Holy smoke. Was the river open below Lake LaBarge?
Yeah, it opened there for ways. So we had a boat there for ways, and then we got into ice jams and solid ice and pulled up the ways, and then we got into open water again. And when we get down to Five Finger Rapids, there was a jam all over there, and you couldn't see but not hardly anything but water. There was a little knoll with some trees on. And we decided to camp there for the night. The jam hadn't broke then, which already is too bright to be expected. Anyway, we made camp there for the night. And when we woke up in the morning, our boat was hanging up and down. The jam broke, and the ice went up. And we got in the boat and went on down through. It didn't break in the main channel, it went out in one of the smaller channels. It's dangerous, quite dangerous, all that. And I bet you there was a couple of hundred boats besides ours going down through at the time, and ice cakes and things. But it's quite a trip. And then we keep on going to off and on. You get to a jam again and get up and pull them.
Well, did you, when you were going down the river, did you have a sail on the boat part of the time?
Yeah.
And then you paddled also?
Yeah, yeah.
No outboard motors?
No, outboard, no.
I guess that's a little too early for outboard motors.
Yeah. Anyway, we could have been the first boat in Dawson that spring, but we later stopped over on the island before we get into Dawson to clean up.
Yeah.
And then we were in Dawson for a few days and then went out in the creek. We went out in the creek there for, over there for nearly 2 months, out in different creeks.
Did you work for other miners or?
Well, we could have. We worked some, but not too much to speak of. You had to have your own shovel. It's there if you want to go to work. But anyway, you look mostly for the tide to get all of them gone, some proper trees and the prospect, you know, but things were pretty well both taken up at the time. And in the meantime, we heard about this Ruby stampede. So after we get kind of tired of that, so we thought we'd go down the river and find out what's cooking down below. So we went on down through to we get to Tannen.
Uh-huh.
We stopped at Eagle in Rampart, of course, just for say hello and one another. That's cool. And we get Tannen. We met some people coming up from Ruby and told us there's nothing going on down at Ruby. And all the gun was thick. So we first figured we'd go up to Fairbank, but we heard about Manly. It had a similar place, of course, and quite a lively little place too. So we went up to Manly and settled down. That's about.
So you arrived in Manly just when the Tofte and when that area was being discovered, or when they were first staking the
1911.
Mm-hmm. And did you live right in the village of Manly, or did you go out on a creek?
Well, that's the village was right on the creek. So
yeah.
Not all it's scattered out or opened up.
And did you stake some ground then?
Yeah, well, not the first year. I went to work, I did a job, but I just, well, all thieves get a job right away, so we worked that summer. And then the other two boys, they went on up to Fairbanks, and going there for a while, I stayed in Hanley. The next year, 1912, I staked my first claim in Hanley.
What was the name of your two partners?
Jan Jonsson and Oscar.
Jan Jonsson. John Johnson, does he bomb? John Johnson? Is that just the way he says John?
My memory's not good.
Yeah, maybe you'll remember it in a little while.
Well,
but John and Oscar went up to Fairbanks, and you stayed in
Manly.
Okay. So then in 1912, you staked some of your own ground.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was my first time. Well, in the winter of 1911, some other partner and I went over to a creek called Boulder Creek. It's about 7-8 miles across the divide. I prospected there early one winter.
Mm-hmm.
And the next spring came out and I had a chance to go in with the party on some ground. So we worked on it quite a while, and then the next year I got in with another partner. He's quite fortunate. He made a big stake there before I got there, and he had quite a lot of property in it and machinery. So I went with him on a drilling expedition.
Who was that, Linder?
Huh?
Who was that, Linder?
No, Bach.
Oh, Adolf Bach.
Yeah.
Adolf Bach?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said you went for drilling. Was that prospect drilling?
Yeah.
Drilling holes
for prospect, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We built in the Hoffman, and then we went in mining together. Because he already had him plant working in order.
Yes. Mm-hmm. How long had he been there?
Let me see, he
yet.
If he had machinery there already, he must have been there for several years.
He kept in 1999, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least several years. He had an apartment at a kind of a fraction and turned out to be very rich. So he worked it out. In 2 years, we just about worked out when him and I got together. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did this partner of yours, had he been over in the Klondike during the stampede?
In where?
Did he go to Dawson in the Klondike?
No. He worked, well, he was a fisherman, for one thing. He'd been fishing up in the coast there. Mm-hmm. And then he come in, and he started cutting wood for the steamer on the river in the tenement. And we had a partner that had been shown down at Manly, which some of them that owned the Scarborough. So he was in there, so he staked this fraction for Mr. Bark. And look, it was quite fortunate. You get a lot of money up in a short time there. And then him and I, we worked together for a while. Because he had some ground that I had no interest in. Also, I'm on a wood chopper cake, where he let out on lease for royalty. So he did very well there. Well, him and I done fairly well too at times. We done a lot of prospecting, one thing or another. We put in two different winters, burling on different creeks.
Was it just creeks. The two of you, or did you have?
Used the two of us. Yeah, we hired. We had five horses at one time.
Five horses?
Yeah. Because we were mining together, so we had to haul in fuel, wood and what we know. And when we were prospecting with the bill, we only had two horses. And we had three horses, which the one for the get up, communicate with them, you know. Mm-hmm.
What kind of drill was that?
A Keystone.
And how was it powered? What was the power source?
Well, it's shown steam power.
Steam power.
Yeah.
So you had to cut a lot of wood.
Yes. Yeah.
And make.
Yeah, we had a man hired to cut wood, and we had a man helping firing and doing the shores around the bill. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Bach was doing the cooking. I was there doing the bills.
I was going to ask who was the cook.
And
I was going to ask you who did the cooking.
The buck than that.
But tell me what you used to eat. What did you eat when you men were out in the winter prospecting like that? What'd you have for breakfast?
Oh, yeah, hot cakes, sometimes bacon when the boats were running, we had lots of eggs and bacon and all of that meat. But in the winter, we had to store enough to last through the winter. We had mostly in the winter, ham, bacon, and sometimes get a moose and so on.
So, what would you have for your main meal of the day? What was the typical main meal? Moose meat?
Yeah, moose meat, and also we had beans and ham and beans and that.
Lots of beans.
Yeah, it's quite a bit of beans at times, yeah. But we had meat, and we also had beef, because we had at the home at the main camp, we had a meat shaft where you could store the meat all year round.
Was that one of those shafts you put back into permafrost?
Yeah, you sink down 30 feet down.
Oh, down in the ground.
In the permafrost, and we five tunnels, one each way, one we used for ice and fish, and one for the meat.
Well, did you drill the shaft just for meat storage, or was it just a...
Used for storage.
Just for storage.
Yeah.
So the shaft was about 30 feet deep,
yeah.
And then you had a tunnel going two
ways,
directions.
Yes.
And it was in permafrost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was almost about 30 feet in permafrost back.
I talked to somebody in Eagle last summer who told me that the old steel roadhouse at Eagle,
yeah,
had a big shaft in the, right underneath the steel roadhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And it went way down into permafrost. And in the wintertime, they'd put ice there.
Yeah.
And then in the summer, they'd have ice all summer long.
Yeah, 30 degrees.
And the 4th of July, they'd bring ice up and,
yeah,
make homemade ice cream.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's all time.
And then I was in Rampart once recently, well, a year or so ago.
Uh-huh.
And some people who are mining over there still use, not a shaft in the ground, but they tunnel back into the,
mm-hmm,
the hill. And then they have, I think, 3 compartments where the back compartment is in permafrost and everything is solidly frozen.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a door on that, and then they have another compartment that is cold in the summer, but not real cold. And then the front compartment out near the entrance is,
well, they had
cool.
A walk-in.
Yeah, walk-in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh. Oh, yeah.
So they have cool, cold, and frozen.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very logical thing for people to do in this country,
yeah,
but it's something that,
yes, they were.
The people nowadays don't realize that you were able to preserve and have deep freezes.
Yeah, they used to have one right at Sandburg's in top of the walk into the hill there.
Mm-hmm. Do the Strandbergs still mine over in that area?
No, he turned over everything over to McGee, and then I guess McGee sold out to Miller.
Bob Miller?
Yeah,
Bob Miller and Jack Newburn.
I knew that Bob Miller had gone over there, but I didn't know he had bought property.
Yeah.
Well, back to your mining. Did you stay in that area for many, many years, or?
Who?
Did you stay in Manly?
I stayed in
for a long time.
I mined steady for 40 years.
40 years? All in that region?
Yeah.
And were you born over there, Bob?
Yeah.
Were you?
I was born in Fairbanks, raised down there.
But you raised
born in Fairbanks, of course. But the home down with me was at Manly.
Yeah. Well, where did you meet your wife? Was she in Manly?
I met her in Fairbanks. Yes, I met her in Fairbanks, and she was teaching school down at Manly also.
Mm-hmm. Now, your wife was a...
Tonseth.
A Tonseth.
Yeah.
And you met her at Manly.
Yeah.
She was teaching school.
Teaching in Gold Basin. Yeah, teaching at Tofte in the hospital building. Yeah, school there. She was also teaching in she wasn't teaching in that space. No, she was just at Gold Basin
in Tofte.
Now, where is Gold Basin from?
That's
Manly.
Oh, it's about 6-7 miles from Tofte, yeah. It's about 9 or 10 miles from Woodshop, yeah.
And is Gold Basin the name of a creek or just a...
Yeah, it's a creek, yeah.
Gold Basin
it's
Creek.
Over in the head of the Baker Creek Flats.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, Bob, you said that you have a brother, Don, in whose house we are now. And the other brother is
Stan.
Mm-hmm. And
he spent 30 years in the Air Force.
And he's out in the lower states?
Portland,
Oregon. And Don lives here in Anchorage. Is he, I know you're a pilot you used to be a pilot. Are you, you don't fly now, do you?
Well, I still fly, but not commercially.
Mm-hmm.
I fly, executive vice president with Revolution.
Mm-hmm. So you're executive vice president with Revolution, and what does Don fly?
Is he a pilot? School teacher.
School teacher. Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Hansen, how many grandchildren do you have?
See.
An account? You have two here, Don's two boys.
Don's 11.
I got six. Stan's got
seven,
one.
Eight grandchildren. No, eight.
Six, seven, eight, nine. Stan has one.
Six,
nine.
Seven, eight, and great.
Well, that's great grandkids. Yeah, great.
Yeah.
That's nine.
Yeah.
Nine grandchildren.
Yeah.
He's got
let me see.
Five, six. Yeah. Six great grandchildren.
Holy smoke. Lots of Hansons. I flew on Reeve last January. I went out to ADAC. Well, I didn't go on Reeve there. I went with Senator Stevens. I worked part time for Senator Stevens in Fairbanks.
Oh.
And he went out to ADAC, and then we went on a military plane from here. And then we went on the Reeve plane back to Fairbanks. It's a comfortable airplane. That's beautiful country. I wish I could spend some time out there.
Right.
Illusions. I was just telling Bob that I flew on Reeve.
Oh, yeah.
I float on Reeve when we go to Pioneer Conventions. He tries to get Reeve. Reeves has come and picked us up twice
in
recent years.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you going to the Pioneer Convention next month?
Well, I don't know. I haven't quite made up my mind. Bob, what would you go to Europe?
To Europe?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
I don't know what I want on that.
When did you leave Sweden? What year?
In 1906.
1906?
Yeah.
And did you go back since?
I have 50 years I went back.
In 1956?
No, I mean
53, I think.
Yeah.
1953 you went back. It's time to go again.
Well, 63.
Yeah, it was 63.
63.
And 68 I was back.
Yeah, and you were back. You've been over there twice, haven't you?
Yeah. I can't talk the language.
You can't talk Swedish anymore?
No, I couldn't talk anything. I said talk some. I could understand some.
Well, you've only been away from 1906 to 1974. You've only been away for 58 years, isn't it? Something like that?
Well, because I have no trouble over there. Everybody over there can talk English.
Oh, can they?
Yes, most of them can.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a brother still living in the old original home.
Is that right? Did you come from a big family?
No, we were. Four boys and a girl.
And did any of your brothers come to the United States?
Yes, one. Mm-hmm. One brother. He came to New York. He died there.
He died in New York?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just a few years ago.
Huh?
About 10 years ago?
No, it's more than that. Yes, it's more than that. It's nearly 20 years ago. 15 years ago anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you should go to the Pioneer Convention, then go to Europe.
Both.
Why not?
Well, I don't know. I'll think it over. Probably will.
Well, I hope you do. They're fun to go to, and it's always so nice every year to go there and see people from around the state.
Well, it's true. It's very pretty.
Lots of great people in Alaska, and that's a wonderful. I really enjoy going to the Pioneer Conventions.
Yes,
I visited with Axel Edmund in Nome recently.
He used to work for my dad.
Axel used to work for you?
Okay.
Axel Edmund, you know Axel Edmund?
Yeah, sure, I know. He worked for us, for me, 1, 2 years, no, 1 year. And then
the 20s
he worked
for... Was that in the 20s or 20 and the 30s? In the 20s, huh?
I think Axel came to Alaska about 1924 or 25.
Let's see.
I forget the year.
Tell you that. It must have been in the 20s, I think. Anyway, it's he went. He worked for us, and then that's where this guy that come in here was going to go to a bar with his snow machines. They had. What the heck was his name?
Oh, I know. I think I know what you mean. Sir Hubert Wilkins.
Yeah, he was going to. He was going for Wilkins.
Wilkins. Yeah.
What the heck is Smith? Smith was his name. Anyway, his snow machines broke down before he got down to Manly.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a good dog team, so actually, I guess they got helped you to get some dog teams working out, and they started out. And I forget. Now, he told us he was here last. Was it last year?
Last year.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, he told me, well, I've seen him before a different time too, but anyway, he told, he put in a staff to that. He started out with 21 dogs and got in with about 8 to 9, I think. They getting to bad going that way and get bad going.
Did they go to Barrow? Did they go to the Arctic?
Yeah, they went to Hunter Barrow, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, Axel goes in as Grand President this year.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What?
Axel goes in as Grand President this year, so you gotta go down there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he does.
Yeah.
Yes, he'll be the Grand President. You better go to the Pioneer Convention.
I'll see you. Yeah.
Am I going? Let's see, Bill Racing was next and not going.
Well, that's quite an honor. What office do you hold now?
Historian.
Historian.
Mm-hmm. I'll go to second life this year.
Well, it'll be a good convention with Axel there as Grand President.
Won't be very dull anyway.
No, never is with him. But you spent then most of your working life in Alaska. Area, mining.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mining, I worked for the civil service. They shut it down. All the mining, government shut all the mining down. That deep gone mining. Yeah, what year was that?
Probably
1940s, the last time you worked, I think.
Yeah, 44, I guess, 42.
During the war,
yeah.
You closed down.
So I went to work with the civil service, and I worked there. 15 years for the civil service.
Was that in Fairbanks?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At Ladd.
At Ladd Field.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
You worked several years at Northway, didn't you?
Well, of course, yeah.
Of course, that was out in North Ladd.
Part time at Northway. Only a short time at Northway, starting out at Northway.
Did you help build the runway at Northway? The airport?
I was working on getting the communications and that aim. We're working on that. And of course, they were building the runway there too at the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at Wainwright, did you work on the runway at Wainwright? At Ladd Field, excuse me. Carpenter work, I see. I'm sorry, they changed it from Ladd Field to Fort Wainwright.
Oh, yeah.
It used to be Air Force.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that did. Yeah. Yeah, I can't get up.
It was Ladd all the time, you know.
Yeah, right.
You finished up at Ladd in 1959.
And have you been living in Anchorage all this time?
Yeah, since 59. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I am gone. You and son, we built this place.
You built this place?
Yeah.
There's a lot of new houses.
What's that?
Lots of new houses.
Yes, it is. A lot of them. Too many.
Just this year, they put in a whole slug of them there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have about 10 acres where we live, but still, there are too many people moving in around.
You live in Antigua?
No, in Fairbanks.
Well, you're in Fairbanks.
Did you ever know Mike Yankovich?
Who?
Mike Yankovich?
Sure, I did. Yankovich Farm up there on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Past the college.
Oh, on college.
On the Farmer's Loop.
On the college loop. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I think, yeah. Yeah.
He was quite a bootlegger in his day, they tell me.
Raised Charlie lots of... McGrath used to live up there.
Yeah.
Well, you live out there, huh?
I live near the Yankovich Farm.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Charlie McGrath died about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm. He had heart trouble and...
Had a hectic time when he lost his arm there and that cat. That tractor deal. That was in the 30s, I think. Anyway.
Did you ever know Jack Wilkie? Who's a gold miner up in...
Your name is familiar.
He mined mostly up in Chicken and Boundary area. He died a couple of days ago, too.
Yes.
He's in his late 50s.
Oh, yeah.
Just had a heart attack and died. But his, I don't know if you knew him, but he, I think, mostly up in the boundary area. But he's worked in construction.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever know, I don't know if you ever met my husband, but my husband worked over in the, let's see, is American Creek near Tofty?
Yeah, he worked at American Creek.
Where?
American Creek?
Yeah.
Did you ever know Jim Dalton?
Dalton?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know him, but...
Did you know Ted Matthews?
Oh, yeah, I know Ted Matthews, right, well, yeah.
Yeah, they...
American Creek is booming now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I understand.
Three different outfits speaking of it.
Oh, yeah?
Well, my husband was Jim Dalton.
Oh, is he over there now?
No, he's at Barrow.
Oh,
at
Barrow, no. Oh, yeah.
But he worked at American Creek, and I think it was 1935, 36, he was going to college.
Oh, yeah.
University.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's at Point Barrow now.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm sure I know him. Yeah.
Who's mining in the American Creek area?
Well...
Any Alaskans?
Yes, there's a fellow been there. Quite a number of years now. He all by himself with a cat, you know, doing all right, I guess. But now this summer, it's two other different parties.
Mm-hmm.
We used to be able to hear the dredge at our place all the time, pounding away. It was only 7-8 miles across the hill.
Well, did you and your brothers lived there at Manly and went to school there?
Until went to school in Fairbanks.
You would
spend the summers.
Oh, the summers over there. Mm-hmm. And did the whole family just move into Fairbanks in the winter?
No. Except he
I stayed out in the mine. I had to get into the wood and went in order for the next season.
Yes. Did you live by yourself?
Yeah, most of the time, yeah.
Did you ever have any bear trouble?
Well, not while I was there, but after, I didn't remember that, about three years ago, had a bear get in, but I think I blame it on the two-footed bear first.
No, I don't think so.
Huh?
I don't think so.
I don't know. Well, I don't know if it could be mistaken, but it was so many years there, and nothing, nobody booking, nothing booking, but now I've been booking two different times.
The bear come in one way and went out to the side of the house for a big chunk out.
Did you ever meet a bear out on the trail or around the mine?
Different times, yeah.
Did anyone ever bother you?
No. I've been fortunate. He stopped and sized me up. And then
go to the side, you are on the wrong business.
If you run into a bear out in the woods, what do you do? Do you just stop?
I stop.
You make a noise?
Well, I size up the situation. I had very close calls with moose, cow moose, calves. Mm-hmm. They got tied up on our landing strip one time. The moose had a calf up above on the trail there. She went on down past the woodway around and said, come on back, and went on up on the field and come meeting me. I had a gun. I had it out ready to shoot. We stayed there for quite a while, sizing each other's up. And then she took two steps towards me, and that's it. And she said, come any closer. Yeah, I would have to shoot. Mm-hmm. I know she had two calves.
Oh.
And said, you split away south of the trail there.
So she was just sizing you up to see what you're going to.
Yes, I guess so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had a gun ready. So. I never go without a gun ready.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just wondered what I would do if I ever ran face to face up against a bear. I guess I'd make some noise, but
they got a chance, they'll get away normally.
The only way I found out is stop and sized up and stand still and see who's going to move first. Mm-hmm. That's the only way.
Well, did the bear that went into your cabin, was that this year?
No, three or four years ago. 5 years ago, maybe.
The what?
That was 4 or 5 years ago.
That happened. Yeah, four years ago, I think, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, before the 45, yeah.
Well, you remember when Bill Strandberg was killed by the bear?
Yeah, yeah.
What did they decide caused that? Did you ever hear?
I was on the creek. I'd been on the creek. I was in Fairbanks at the time. And the way it appears to me that the bear was laying for me. Mm-hmm. You see, the bears had been there different times before, and they'd been shooting at them, but they couldn't get them. And this time, his brother,
Harold?
Yeah, Harold. Harold was in Fairbanks too, I guess. And Bill was down there alone. And Bill, I guess, did the cooking in the mess hall. And the cabin was just about 30 feet away where he lived. And we were even in the mess hall cooking and doing something in the bear. Stayed behind the door and when he come out and tackled him, because the pickup was only about 15, 20 feet from the door too. Mm-hmm. They claimed that where he lived when they found him, it looked like he had tried to get into the pickup. And, bad guy.
Yeah, that was a tragedy. Too bad. You had a bad bear tragedy down here. It was Illiana.
Cold Bay.
Where?
Cold Bay. They ate a guy up. They found the human remains in the bear.
They what?
Down Cold Bay this summer.
It was somebody get killed?
Yeah.
Who?
Well, somebody was a.
He worked for the post office here in Anchorage.
Oh, yeah. He camped right on the bear trail. Right on the trail.
Oh.
That wasn't too bright to camp right on the trail.
No, sure not.
But
it isn't very often that a bear will eat a human being. But they took an autopsy of the bear and he had human remains in him. Mm-hmm. They found another one down at out of King Cove that had been missing earlier this spring too. But they weren't able to determine for sure whether the bear got him or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, for your food when you lived out there on the creeks, did you bring in most of your food, most of your meat, or did you rely every year on moose?
Well, no. Well, when I live out of city, well, I always have some beef on hand, mm-hmm. like all the time. Yeah. Crispy, I use moose also.
Caribou.
Some caribou too, not much though.
Well, the beef that you'd get in would come by, you'd get it in the summertime. It would come up the river?
Yes. We used to get it from the coast road in some in Nana and some in Fairbanks. Mm-hmm. They sent it down on the boat.
And it was frozen?
Yeah.
In later years, the airplane used to bring it and drop it right in front of the cabin.
Oh, yeah, there was the airplane that used to be bringing a lot of it.
What about mail when you lived out, when you went there in 1911,
well,
1912, did you get mail once a month or?
I normally get once a month for stamping the fish candy, but they only get twice a month. And then it come down to once a week, and I believe twice a week was left.
And when you went there in 1911, how did the mail come? By dog team or?
Yeah, well, yes, come by dog team from Fairbanks.
From Fairbanks?
Yeah, to the first day went by dog team from Fairbanks to Nenana, yeah. No, to Tanana. Mm-hmm. Then, a year or two later, they started to go all the way down to Ruby and then on down.
Bob Busby was on that mail run for a few years back.
Bob Busby?
Right. Mm-hmm. What, 29?
What?
Bob Busby ran that mail run in 29, wasn't it? 28 or 29?
Who?
Bob Busby. Jay was running the NC store in Manly.
Jay Busby?
Jay Busby, and Isabel. Yeah.
But that's why Bob Busby wasn't on the mail.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I didn't know that.
I never know that either, but mm-hmm. I gotta know.
Yeah, he was on the mail run for at least a year.
Yeah, he never come down past our way. I don't know.
I'll have to call him and ask him, you know, about that. That'd be an interesting story to get some of his experiences on the trail.
Of course, not for any length of time, that's for sure, no. Mm-hmm. I used to know nearly all of the mailmen.
Well, what did you get in the mail? Were you able to get magazines and newspapers?
Well, you get paper, newspapers, sometimes magazine. You couldn't get too much either because the dog team said the server thought the country was the dog team going out at the time and for the Koi Cook in different places.
So they couldn't carry too much?
No.
Too many magazines.
No. Mm-hmm. So any mail, a lot of mail was held over to the boats.
Oh, I see. Then in the summer you'd get lots of magazines.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
And then in the winter you would read them.
Yeah.
Which leads me to another, what I was leading up to is, did you read a lot?
Well, no, I didn't read them all. I was quite busy all the time, too. I didn't have too much time for it. A lot to do, especially when you're alone and do your own cooking or one thing or another, yeah. Of course, we had a radio. That was a great help to get it.
When did you first get radio? Was it 1939 that KFAR went into Fairbanks? I was trying to remember the...
1916 or 1917.
What radio did you get? Where'd it come from?
Shortwave mostly.
Yes, and anchor cables.
You used to get to KNX, and Los Angeles was one of the main.
Oh yeah, we had a good receptions out there.
Is that right?
San Francisco.
Yeah, we had better reception, better radio sometimes than we get today.
Is that right? And you get them shortwave.
No, there's a broadcast. You could get broadcast all over the world. And they went to that. Boy, it was wonderful, but the phrase you get now, you didn't do nothing. This out for the camp was one of the first one come out.
Boy, you say about 1917 or 18?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And what kind of power did you have for the radio? Battery power?
Battery, mm-hmm. Yeah, it had big batteries.
Mm-hmm. And did anyone in that area have a radio transmitter for? There wasn't any radio connection between Manly and Fairbanks that early, was
well,
there?
Well, we had a phone, telephone all the way to Fairbanks.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, Tanana, Manly Hot Springs, Tofty, Manly Hot Springs, Dogan, Tullalama, Mentor, Minana, Fairbanks.
Was that Army Signal Corps that operated it?
Yeah, in Signal, yeah.
So, in an emergency, even back in those in 1917-18,
yeah.
You could call yeah. Fairbanks.
Oh yeah, yeah, you could talk to Fairbanks. When he went down, went up to the hanging dog was born. That's the what year was that?
27.
Yeah. We could. And talk to your mother after you landed in Fairbanks. They want to talk to them, could they talk to anyone all the way up and down the line.
I see. Well, when did you get the first airplanes that came into that area?
Yeah.
First airplanes.
Airplane.
That came in to bring you mail or freight or food? Must have been quite a bit later than, well, let's see.
22,
24? 23, 24. Ween, the doctor, he hadn't been in business very long before he started up the mail.
Which Ween was that?
Noel Ween,
yeah. And then Paula come in, and then we had a wonderful service from then on. Because we had his snow more than one thing or another, so he had quite a busy, but he adopted quite a lot of stuff. I know at one time he came down with a whole load. He had about 400 or 500 pounds of stuff. But
did he drop it or yeah, land?
Dropped.
Oh, I see.
No, we didn't have it. Landing strip up a Tufty when. 28, 29, I think, or 30.
30, I think.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then a year or two after we had to get our stuff down close to
home. Well, if you wanted to leave Tofty before there was a road in there, if you wanted to leave Tofty and go to Fairbanks in the middle of winter, how would you travel?
Well, plane come and travel the plane, sure.
Before the airplane?
Oh, before we had. By foot, of course.
Took the dogs?
Yeah, dogs or foot. I very much.
Horses.
Yeah, horses, yeah. Yeah, I drove up there and stayed for a couple of weeks, several winters.
Mm-hmm. Was there a wagon road between Tofty and Fairbanks?
No, it used to winter slab road. When the rivers in the lake were frozen.
And you'd use horses and...
Yeah, horses, yeah.
And slaves.
Horses and dogs.
And dogs. Mm-hmm. Did you keep a dog team
often? No, we were the horse business.
Horse business, yeah.
We didn't really have dogs, but not enough for any special purpose.
Mm-hmm. How How about you, Bob? Did you, when you and your brothers were young, did you have dog teams?
Yeah, I drove Hurley's team. I was in races for 6 years up there, starting 36 and 41.
Whose team was it?
Alive and good race.
Oh, what team was it you drove? Or whose dog?
Julian Hurley, the lawyer.
Oh, Julian Hurley.
Yeah, he passed away from the
year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you entered the, you, well, that was when they ran from Fairbanks to Livengood and back?
I was on the last 2 years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huh. First year I drove the races was around the Farmer's Loop, 16 miles. So. Mary, owns a saloon in,
Mary Joyce?
Joyce, and Mary Hansen from Bert and Mary's up at Big Dell, and now they're up at Rapids. She was in the race sector, too. Bob Busby, and quite a bunch of old timers.
What year was that, 1936? 36.
Last year I was 41.
To go back to the, back to about 1917, during the big flu epidemic, did you have a lot of flu and illness?
Well, we went down and we were out on the country all night and everybody. I don't wonder how that ever gets started in Fairbanks. Well, I can see Nina, if you had any Nina. He doesn't also, I think.
Mm-hmm.
No, you never bought of any. They had a quarantine that nobody could come in, nobody could go out.
That's why you didn't get it.
Yeah.
Well, did you ever meet Leonard Sepala? He was involved in that.
Yeah, I met him several times.
Mm-hmm. I raced against him a year or two up there. I don't remember what years it was now.
Well, did he live in Fairbanks then? When you were racing?
Part of the time.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be 7,000 people down there. In Woodchopper, were
yeah.
7,000 people.
Is that right?
Well, obviously, yeah.
Dana Soul down there now that he's left.
That was in Woodchopper, Tofty.
Yeah, Woodchopper,
all that area.
Yeah, up in Navigation.
Including Manly.
No, right there at Woodchopper itself.
Yes. Quite sure. I can't remember many, but there's a lot of little 10, 11 saloons.
Is that right?
Yes.
Do you know if anybody's done a history of any kind on Tofty?
Not that I know.
Some kind of historical record of Tofty? Did anybody write any stories on that?
Not that I know. No.
When you first went in there, are there any of your old partners still in Alaska? Or any of the people who were living there then? Do they still live in Alaska?
I don't know. No. Well, I think they all passed away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anyone. And I used to know it tough to hear it. Well, a few years ago, when I was in civil service every now and again, a fella come and tap me on the back and tell me, don't you remember me? I used to work for you so and so at a certain time, but not later years.
No. Well, actually,